listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Well, we go to Nashville to hang out with all the folks at ZCon. This has been going on for 33 years, I believe. And if you like your Z cars, I might suggest a ZCon. So it's a good show. We're always funny up on our feet, and this time is no different. So that's coming in 1 second. First, I'll tell you about Madison Reed Mister. Madison Reed. Well, they made hair color, and they make hair color for women, and they did a great job, and they do a great job. And so they said, well, what about for the fellas? And that's where Madison Reed Mister comes in. So it's a gray blending, natural color, works on your hair, works on your beard. You can go to their website, look at the before and after shots, no shoe polish look, and maybe just want a little more pepper, a little less salt. Madison Reed Mister makes it easy for you to find your color, and you can, again, match it on the website. They'll send you a kit. They did it for me. I took a little pouch, put a little of the color in, work it in through your hair, then put the activator in, let it sit for 10 minutes, rinse it off, and boom. Out goes the gray, in comes the natural look. Madison Reed Mister. Right, Dawson?
Go to MadisonReedMister.com. That's MadisonReedMister.com. And use code Corolla for 10% off, plus free shipping on your first box. Again, that's code Corolla.
From ZCon in Nashville, Tennessee, it's CarCast. Today's guest, communications manager for Nissan Sports Cars, Jonathan Bueller, and president of the ZCar Club Association, Chris Carl. And now, please welcome your hosts, Matt, the Motorator DeAndrea, and Adam Carolla.
Hello, thank you. Is that on?
Well, I'm Adam Carolla. That's Matt, the Motorator DeAndrea over there, and it's... great to be anywhere but Los Angeles, so thank you very much. Thank you guys for not being Los Angeles. That's what I will say about Tennessee. The ride here was beautiful. We had the, what do we have, a 270Z?
We had a 370Z. The nice anniversary edition. It's funny because we talked to the Nissan guys when we got here, and we said, thanks so much for lending us that car because you have one,
yes.
And we never get to drive it because you don't want any miles on it. And I've been waiting to drive that one.
Yeah.
So it was
I don't want to break this to you, Matt, but there's another co-host in my life, and we drive all the time in that car.
I don't believe it.
I just didn't want your cooties in it. So, it was kind of nice. It's got the rev matcher on there, so when Matt's throwing the downshifts, it just matches that rev, which is
so you don't spill your coffee.
Sweet. Yeah, or vodka. Either way, it's nice to be amongst so many Z car fans and Nissan fans, and I don't know, maybe a little walk down memory lane with me and Z's and Nissans, because I'm guessing you guys are for sure Z fans, but you probably got some love for 510s and 2000 Roadsters and blah blah blah. So. Just to curry a little favor with the hometown crowd, I just got off the phone with my mechanic, and he's just getting ready to put my second BRE 510 in paint. So we have the one BRE 510, the Bobby Allison backup car, or guest car, I guess as they would call it. That's red, white, and blue. I guess it's got the blue hood and the blue roof. And then... the latest BRE car is yellow and white, and it's a privateer car that Brock and company built and then sold. I think they made a couple of cars that were like privateer cars. So this is a privateer car, and so
you guys will love it when it's done because it has Pete Brock's BRE livery on it, but just done in yellow and white, so the same stripes in the hood panel, the roof. It's very, very cool if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, and it's also going to be fun to bring that car out because people are all going to assume it's a tribute car because it's yellow and white, and they're not going to know it's an actual BRE car.
Everyone will think you paid half as much because it's not a real car and it's going to be worth more.
Yeah, so make it a tenth as much. But so we got a couple of BRE 510s, got a couple of BRE Roadsters, the first two 2000 Roadsters. One, it's been finished for a while, raced it a few times. The other's getting finished. It's the Frank Moniz and John Morton Roadsters from back in the day. And the BRE 510 raced quite a few times as well. Now it's kind of like, it's a BRE 510. Let's just look at it. But we got the different drummer 510 that's has some 2.5 Trans Am history, and it's a brass tag car for those of you who know what that is on the cage. So we'll be taking that out. We just got back from Laguna Seca with the 510, and we'll be back out
Beginning of December, I believe.
Back out beginning of December, and I figured out I got the right transmission for it in my 610. So we're doing a little transmission swap. So as far as me and Nissan goes, I got my first Nissan pickup truck back when it was Datsun, long bed, standard cab. I don't even know if they offered anything other than a standard cab. The headrest was the rear window, so bench seat, you know. And I worked construction out of that thing because it was just bulletproof. That was like a 77, I think. Later on, I stepped up to an 84
Sweet.
Nissan. Standard bed, standard cab, bench seat, all that good stuff. I had a Z car a Project Z car when I was probably about 19 or 20. I got a 2000 Roadster way back in the day. I had Z cars and Roadsters. I didn't have any 510s back in the day. And now, first vintage race car was a Bob Sharp 610, a Newman Sharp, yep. Or just a Bob Sharp, I should say, 610. Then
that was the first one you raced as well, right?
That was the first one I raced. Yeah, good car. Then the as far as the Zs, let's see. The Zs are, we have two of the 2+2, 87, 88, cage two-frame car, two of those turbo Zs. Everyone always tells me the motor that's in that car, and I never remember.
Those are both Paul Newman cars, 1987 and 88.
2+2, right. We have both Newman GT1 championship cars from 85 and 86. Mm-hmm. That's 300ZX, non-2+2, same V6 single turbo engines on those cars.
And those were championship cars.
Yeah, two championship cars. GT1 championship, 85, 86. That's when you see them going around Road Atlanta and those. We have those cars. Have the twin turbo 79 V8 ZX, 280 ZX crazy nutty car.
If you haven't seen that car is fantastic. So they basically took a V8 engine out of a car in Japan. I don't know the exact model. It was basically the president.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it's whatever their town car is, their limousine, mm-hmm. and then brought it over and built this crazy like sheet metal induction system for it, mechanical fuel injection, turbos, makes almost 1,000 horsepower. And I think they had there's lots of parts, but three complete engines. And the car has a complete engine in it, and we have both spares, as much as you can get of the spares on an engine stand. It looks fantastic. But I heard it was crazy to drive. I think Steve Millen came over once and said he, later in years, drove it in a vintage race and said it was one of the scariest cars he's driven.
Yeah, it's a V8, and it's got this big, long, tall stack induction kind of it with mechanical injection, big plenum on top.
It's kind of like a Holley high rise, like fuel injection intake with the throttle body kind of in the front, but it runs turbos.
And
I believe you can play that car in Forza Motorsport, one of the Forza games. They scanned it and put it all in there.
And it has a ZF transaxle in the back. It has inboard discs in the back. Yeah. It's a crazy car. It's basically, I would say, if you picture a 280 ZX as a Porsche 935, that's essentially, and then a little bit further. Like a little bit crazier than a 935,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
it's a crazy car that thank God I can't fit in because I'd for sure kill myself in that car.
It's a cool piece, but we were told by everyone involved that we met, they said it was just tough to get it to work all the time. It was just so complicated that it was tough. But it looks badass. It works great in the video game.
Let's. Yeah, it never overheats in the video game.
Yeah, it runs great, the game.
We also have a Bob Sharp Camel pace car.
Yeah.
That's everyone's favorite. Everyone's favorite is the Bob Sharp built Camel livery for the series. Geno's full mega flares.
I see Steve Yeager over there, and Steve Yeager was involved with that car. He's got pictures of that car in his driveway back when Nissan was campaigning it. So he got to drag it around the country, or at least most of it. And,
yeah.
So when we had it up at Monterey a few years ago, we got a chat about it, and we got a really nice jacket for you with Steve's name on it.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's a fan favorite that car. Still unclear whether it started off as an actual race car and then got converted into a pace car. But either way, very cool piece and very 70s livery. Am I missing any Z cars?
I don't think so. I think that's all of them. Well, there's half a car up on the lift.
Oh, yeah, there's half a Z up on the lift, a 280Z. Well, what do you guys think of this? All right. So, all right, I'm gonna float an idea here. It's going to sound a little sacrilegious, but I think it's going to come around to you folks appreciating it. I said to my guys and Matt, my fabricator, I was like, let's build a really cool 280ZX street car, but do it with the big IMSA flares on it. Do it kind of like the Newman turbo car, 79, 80. Do it the kind of boxy flares. Like I have a Lightsinger. I have a Lightsinger Z that has that kind of look. It's a cool look. I said, let's do that. Let's build one of those.
Like get into it like Porsche Singer quality, like SEMA build, like make something really cool kind of one-off, right? I think it'd be kind of cool.
Yes. Yeah, like we'll go to the level of the guy over there with the scarab, and we'll go past it.
Past the scarab guy.
He has an aftermarket stick shift knob on there. I don't know
right.
if he's...
Now, but we have a thought about the engine for this car that I think would be sort of the centerpiece.
I was walking my dog, and I was thinking to myself, what would be a cool power plant for this Z car? And I thought, Z engines, fine. Small block Chevy, been there and done that. I thought, what would be a really interesting power plant for this car? And I was just thinking about it. And I thought, what would be? I like the idea of a straight six configuration because that's what the car obviously had in it. But I don't want a Datsun in there. What do we got? And I thought, old 4.2 Jaguar straight six, a twin cam up there with the big vented, big polished,
it's just a good looking engine.
It's great looking. You can build the crap out of those things. 4.2 liter, right? You got the finned aluminum heads, you got the big gold head, got the valve covers on there. Like you put the triple side draft Webers on there, 50 DOCs or whatever, and you go, you built a killer racing. It sounds, everyone who pops the hood is surprised to see that Jag motor. It's like, I got it.
Yeah. Leaks oil.
Hey, I'm not taking it to the Trader Joe's, Pops. I'm scoring points at SEMA and with the ladies. So I said, I'm in love with this idea. I go, a straight six, twin cam. Jag motor, triple side. You know, we got the triple side drafts. So I go in and I say to my mechanic, Sean, my fabricator, I go, you're going to love this idea. We're going to build that Z car, and you're never going to guess what the power plant's going to be. It's going to be a straight six Jag 60s, you know, 4.2, 3.8, whatever it is. Motor, best idea I've ever had. And he goes, He doesn't talk a lot, this guy. He goes, I was thinking of something else. And I go, you're thinking of something else? Wait a minute, a small block Chevy in
there? Nice idea, old man.
Yeah,
but,
go ahead. Tell me about your 10-cent ideas. And he goes, well, I was thinking we should put that engine in it. And he points at the racing V8 twin turbo.
The twin turbo extra engine
extra
from the
engine
280ZX.
From the 280ZX. And he goes,
1,000 horsepower.
We should put that in it and do it up as a street tribute to that car. And I'm like, oh, that's a much better idea.
Like,
that's such
it.
A better idea than my idea. Yeah. And I already own one of those.
Yeah.
So wouldn't that be cool to do a street version? And think about the story. It's like one of three of those engines that actually exist. And there was a lot of bespoke parts on that. Like, I have the high-rise intake, we have castings of that with the still not deburred and whatnot.
Although Sean did call around and he said, hey, when we redo this engine, we could try to rebuild this mechanical fuel pump. It was custom made for the forced induction. Although there is one guy that has one, but it's $22,000.
Yeah.
The fuel pump.
Yeah, I know. So yeah, so
we've got a great idea, but not an inexpensive idea.
Well, we're just going to take the fuel injection system off a Subaru Forester and just throw it on there. You know, we got to cut corners at some point.
Yeah, right.
Well, let me take a quick break. We'll tell you about JB Weld and Geico. JB Weld, quick 15 seconds for our friends over at JB Weld. They're a proud sponsor of CarCast. They're an epoxy adhesive brand used by both pros and DIYers alike, and you can get it at jbweld.com. Also, Geico. Right now, Geico's offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Let's get in on this. There's Geico, and then there's everyone else. So, never been a better time to switch to Geico and save that extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more.
All right, should we bring Jonathan Buehler up?
Yeah, let's do it. Here comes Jonathan.
Jonathan is the communications manager for Nissan sports cars. So, if anyone should be able to communicate some ideas about Nissan sports cars, it should be Jonathan. Hey, have a seat in the middle or... Step over here. So first off, that's a dream gig, right?
That it is, actually. So for me, you know, growing up with my background, with my dad owning that exact 240Z that surprisingly you walked over to.
I love the color of that. It's a little root beery. It's a little, well, what do we call that color?
So it's Le Mans Sunset Orange from the 03-350Z. So my favorite color when I was a kid, you know, we'd go to the grocery store, and I'd see this one guy in our neighborhood had a Le Mans Sunset Orange 350Z. I was like, I've got to have that car in that color. And I couldn't have the car, but I could have the color.
Wow, that's your when I was a kid story was about a 350Z? What are you, 11? I remember my dad used to put me on his shoulders, and he showed me a 350Z.
So, well, I mean, I was 13.
You
got to
be 19 now,
yeah,
right?
No, I wish.
Wow.
I wish, but
I lost my Z in the divorce, man.
The first one.
Wow.
Z in the first divorce.
The 350. No, okay, so.
So
that is that color, isn't it?
It is that color. So it's got some personality to it, depending on what light. So in certain light, it's very orange, very coppery. Other lights, it has that little brownish color to it. So it's kind of unique, and I love it.
I got to say, it's a good color. It's good on the 350, but I think it's better on the 240, right?
I think it really suits the body lines for sure.
I see Randy over there. You should sell it to him. He's got a lot of money.
Yeah, he does.
And he put
Come
some,
on, Randy.
He put some gray goose in my LaCroix, by the way. So he's lubed up pretty good.
Oh, I love it. I love it. That's amazing. So, back to your question, Adam. It is a dream job to work for Nissan, quite honestly. With my background with the 240Z, with my dad growing up, him taking me to daycare in that car, and then us restoring it together. I knew that Nissan and the Z would be a huge part of my life, so I was really, really excited to get the opportunity to work for Nissan once I moved from Atlanta up here to Nashville, and the story just wrote itself, and here I am.
So tell us everything you know about the new Z car that's going to be unveiled tonight.
All right, you guys ready?
The 400.
You got a couple hours.
Right.
Oh, I am so sorry, but just hang on. You guys will absolutely love it. I'm so excited to share the new Z with all of you guys tonight, so just hang tight. Only a couple more hours, and you guys are going to absolutely love it.
It's going to be kind of exciting to see. I know that I think we've been waiting a little while for this.
Yeah, we all have. I know. But, you know, tonight's the night. It's finally coming to fruition, so I'm so excited. I really cannot wait.
So four-cylinder turbo.
Don't know.
Hey,
I'm old enough to remember when the Z's went to the V configuration, and it was like a big deal. Like that just the notion that I don't know, 84? Well, 84 probably went to the to the V6. And I remember it was a big deal, and I don't know why it was such a big deal, because you had 2.8 in a straight six, and now you're going with a 3.0 and a V. It's not that big a deal, but there's something weird about Japanese in a V configuration back then. There was no anything you'd heard of that was pushing a V6 or a V8 that had a Japanese brand on it. So that was a big deal. I'm trying to think, and it's nice to see, and you guys are probably happy about this, the values of these cars. Anyone who hangs out on Bring a Trailer seen some of these.
Have you guys ever heard of Bring a Trailer? I'm not sure if anybody here has ever heard of Bring a Trailer. Yeah,
no one has.
That's kind
of what I figured. There's one went for, I don't know, 150, one went for, was there one that went for 300?
Yeah,
300.
300 grand? I mean, and then which is interesting, they're kind of outliers. The thing I always like are just the 2000 Roadster that went for almost 50. The Z cars, it's 50 grand just routinely. Yep. It's crazy, but it's good. Good for you guys, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, better for me, but good. Good for you. Great for me. I don't have only have the one Z street car. Everything else is in full race trim. Oh, there goes my buck slip. Thanks, Chris. Oh, you can hang on to it. I don't need it. So let's talk about Nissan and racing. What plans, ideas, when the 400 comes out, you're not allowed to talk about anything. But seems to me that the heritage part of Nissan and racing, man, the force is strong. I mean, we just got back from big B sedan group at Laguna Seca. Right. It's probably 17, 18, 510s out of a group of maybe 22 cars there. Lots of Z cars coming out now. I see the guys wearing his Millen, his Clayton Cunningham Z car over there from the early 90s. One of those is coming up at auction pretty soon.
Yeah, Stratus auction. One that I think John Morton drove for a stint as well. And it's going to be exciting to see that car go up for auction, because there hasn't been any comps on that car yet. There's a handful of them, and I know that Steve Millen, I'm sure, is going to be very excited.
Oh, we didn't mention that Z car when we were talking about our Z car.
That's right. You do have the 94
I was gonna say.
VA car.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's another 300 Z.
Forgot about that Z car. That
was
little
right
pea shooter.
Like
I know. I was just staring at this guy with my car on a shirt, although that's not my car. That's probably Millen's. Or Millendrome Mall. Or whatever, right? Morton and Millen.
Yeah.
Throw my own. Johnny O'Connell.
Johnny O'Connell.
Yeah, so mine has, I think, Millen, Morton, and O'Connell's name on the side. My car won its class at Sebring. I think that's the a couple other races too. But the real history is won its class at Sebring, and I guess it would have been 94, probably something. But those Cunningham Z cars are really cool, and I think they're kind of coming into their own.
That's the other car in the collection that when we look at it, you say it's incredibly complex. And we had the guys that came over that were part of the team who built the car, and they said, hey, in 94 when we built this, it cost $500,000 to build. It was an incredibly expensive, complex car to build at the time. And now when you see it, because that's a transaxle car.
Yeah.
And not all of them work. So it's really cool to see without the body on it.
Yeah, a lot of chromoly tubes in that car. And I guess the first couple of iterations had just the straight ahead 5-speed, you know, bolt on bell housing. And after that, they became transaxle cars. But really cool, complex pieces if you get up on those things. And they'll have, when I bought mine, it had the front clip with the decals of the lights on there, and then the front clip with the working lights and all that, and the markers and everything for endurance, you know, for Daytona and probably Sebring. It must get dark at Sebring, right? Yeah, it always rains. I mean, eventually it gets dark. Talking about during the race.
During the race. No, I gotcha.
I know the sun will set up.
Back to the question, what's going on with Nissan Motorsports?
Well, we've definitely seen a resurgence in, you know, the overall, you know, vintage racing series across the country, which is really kind of the staple right now of our motorsports backing. So we love the fact that all of our enthusiasts are going out there and driving their cars, really enjoying them out on the track. Outside of that, though, you know, who knows?
Some of them are assholes. I've been in races with these guys. Sorry. They're not all saints. You guys are heroes. There's a couple of guys in those 5-10s I could do without. I'll tell you that right now. Troy Irmish, you listening?
Yeah.
Maniacs hanging wheels onto the dirt, trying to pass everyone in the first lap.
Oh, he's trying to win.
Oh, he's trying to win.
Damn it.
Super competitive. Oh, whatnot.
I do love that you guys are embracing the vintage motorsports aspect of it. It's been many years in the making, trying to get even Monterey, the Rolex Historics, to accept those cars and starting to get more of the vintage Japanese cars there. So we've been fortunate enough to have a few and race a few over there. Not really a Monterey 510 group yet, but we're gonna get there.
I think it's coming. So you know, as far as the vintage groups go, they were kind of snobs. You know, they wanted the Italian cars, they wanted the German cars. They take
those British ones, illegal oil.
The British ones. They take the you know, American Trans Am stuff, but not the 2.5 Trans Am stuff. And over the last couple of years, there's definitely been a shift. A lot more Japanese cars, a lot more roadsters, a lot more 510s starting to get involved. And now there's such a large group of 510 B sedan guys out there that we're lobbying to just get a run group going. I think we're going back in December and doing a race. I know there's a race coming up in Sonoma in a couple of weeks that we're not going to be able to get to, but hopefully the vintage, I mean, much like what you see happening on Bring a Trailer and the price of these cars going up, so is the respect for these vintage Datsuns coming around in the vintage racing world. So they're not looking down their nose. And also there was an old guard, and the old guard has sort of moved over, and the newer guys are coming in. And those newer guys do remember seeing those John Morton races 510 back in the day, and so they have a kinship with those cars. Is Nissan, so some of the manufacturers, you know, Ferrari and Mercedes and maybe Porsche, they're really getting into the vintage in terms of repopping parts and doing restorations and that kind of stuff. It makes sense to me that Nissan is going to go along that, is it the Classic or whatever they call it?
Yeah, to an extent. So we have our great Nismo group who do a phenomenal job with supporting, you know, our current customers right now. So we love them. But we're also looking at some other opportunities. I don't know if maybe some of you guys have heard. On the Japan side, we've started reproducing R32, R33 parts. You can expect to see R34 parts. I know those are becoming extremely popular here in the U.S., but for the vintage Datsun stuff, that's definitely something we're looking at maybe, you know, capitalizing on. And I know our counterparts in Japan are as well, to really kind of bring some of those parts that we, you know, well, that you guys can't find anymore, that I can't find anymore, back into production so that way we can really start offering and supporting all of you guys are enthusiasts.
Well, Jonathan, I think a good note for you to pass the mic baton over to Chris as well. Put your hands together for Jonathan.
Thank you guys
Bueller,
so much.
Everybody.
Yep. We'll see you guys later tonight.
Oh, yeah. Later tonight. That's right. All right. So we bring... all right. Sorry. I got my guys mixed up. We got Chris over here. Chris Carl, director.
Another Chris.
President of... is this another Chris? Oh, another Chris. Yeah. Same height. Director, president of Z Club Association. Is this all your baby here?
This, I guess you could say if you're going to blame anybody, you can blame me for this.
What are you driving?
So I think I have a Nismo 350Z right here. However, it's not mine. It's my wife's who's got my camera right here in front. Mm-hmm. We have 10 Zs today, Adam.
Oh, really?
The stable has grown.
The 350, that's the one Jonathan grew up with.
That's right. It was Pappy. Put him on his shoulders.
Right after he stopped crawling.
Yeah, right?
So what are the other 9 Zs?
We have serial number 201, 240Z, a 70. We have a 71 and a 72. We have 4 of the mid-90s. 2 are twin turbos. 2 are convertibles. We have an 87 turbo. And then we have, the new addition, the 350Z Nismo, which is serial number 0030, number 30.
Nice. And then tonight you can get your order in on the new, the new 400.
I have tried. They won't take my deposit yet. I'm looking over at the Nissan guys, and they're turning away. See? Yeah, go ahead and wave, Dan.
Hey, wait a minute. This is not how you sell cars. The guy's got a pocket full of money. You guys are walking away. Come on.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, he's a legacy, man. You have to give him that car. The first Z you have, 1970, what's the color scheme on that?
It's a silver on black car. It's actually in paint right now. So as you restore them, this one's been under restoration a little longer than I'd like to admit.
Yeah.
But it'll be done hopefully for ZCon next year.
Okay. How long have you guys been doing this event? This is our first time here. It's quite a trip for us. So.
This is our 33rd annual event. And ZCon is the longest running and biggest Z-Car event anywhere. Obviously, our population's a little lower this year due to certain things.
There's got to be somebody here who's been to all of them.
There is one gentleman who was at
opening.
There's got
to be at least one guy here that's been to probably every one of them, right?
We have one gentleman that's been to 32.
Oh,
I can't find somebody that's hit all of them. But
have you actually been to all of them?
No, I unfortunately, I'm older than Jonathan, but not as old as those other gentlemen. So my first was actually an international ZCon in 2001 in Canada.
In Canada?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was going to ask, are they all in the same location and travels around?
So ZCon stands for International Z-Car Convention, but it's really North American based. So we've been to Canada twice. The rest of those have all been in the States.
I was thinking, when did Nissan move from Orange County, California, or Costa Mesa, or Florida? I'm trying to think where they were. Where were they? Gardena?
Gardena.
Ugh. Nobody misses Gardena. But I worked in Gardena. When I was working construction, I built a decorative box factory in Gardena once. It was the worst 6 months of my life. That place is scary. Anyway. I was down at Nissan, must have been 10 years ago, probably more, and they had the Morton 510 there. That's a 46 car. Wait, I got the 44? No, 46. Yeah. Anyway, the Morton 46 car is there, and they brought it out of the museum, and they had it parked out in the parking lot, and we were talking to I don't know who from the Z car, but the lady, like the intern person, came back after making the coffee run, and she's driving like the SUV, and you know, the 510's about 43 inches off the ground, you know what I mean? And this thing had the SUV with the rear windows about 47 inches off the ground, and we're all standing in front of her. She had like the coffee, and she was doing the over the shoulder, and she was backing in, and so all of us know that she's backing into John Morton's 510, and we're standing in front of her car, and everyone's like waving their hands, except for she's over her shoulder.
Waving back?
She can't see us. She's just going backwards. She sees nothing out of her rear.
Yeah.
And it's back before the knee, 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 knees, and all that kind of stuff just goes right into John Morton's car.
Yeah. Not so much on the driver aid front.
And that's why. That's why I'll offer you $30,000 for that car right now. It's broken. It took a lot of damage from that hit from the SUV. So we'll talk. But what is that car? Is that car? I heard it was insured for like $8 million or is something like that.
What
is
do you
that,
think? Anybody
does
have
that
an
sound
idea?
Right?
Higher?
$1 million.
$1 million.
Oh, $1 million bucks. Who told me that? I'll tell you. I think it's time to talk to Flo. Because I think that car's worth more than $1 million bucks now.
I think it's worth more than $1 million bucks. You guys need to step up your game.
Yeah, I think that 510, if it gets backed into by someone who makes another coffee run, you guys are going to eat it badly with your $1 million policy.
Loss on that front.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does anyone have any guess? Like, what do you think that 510 is worth? Like, all right, let's put this challenge out to you. Let's just say that thing goes across at Gooding next year at Pebble Beach. What does it hammer for? Thoughts?
It's got to be over two, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, we rolled up here today thinking it was insured for about eight. So now that we realize it's the bargain of a lifetime, you're right. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know either. I would say I don't think you'd get it in the ones. I think you might get into the twos with that car. But either way, we gotta up the insurance on it.
Yeah. All right. Where do you think the next ZCon event's going to take place?
So kind of like the reveal tonight, which has a little hush hush. We have a tradition at ZCon of not announcing that ahead of time. However, it's kind of leaked out. So there is a bid out there, and it is in Colorado Springs next year.
That's nice.
This works, a club has to do 80% of the work, Adam and Matt, and if they step up, they put a proposal together. Why are we waving at me?
We're from Colorado.
They're from Colorado.
Oh, good.
I wasn't sure what that motion was. I was going a different direction with where you were headed there.
But yes, there were sexual overtones.
There may have been.
Is definitely some signaling going on.
But we do have some folks from next year's convention team.
He's making that part of the deal.
Yeah.
But we have we've got a racetrack, as all ZCons do. We've got motorsport activities. We've got two car shows. We always separate the judge so we can let these guys, you know, put the towels down when they're done with the car show and enjoy the rest of the week and let the cars be dirty, go spin around the autocross, that type of thing.
So what else is going to happen at ZCon this week while we're here? We're unfortunately here for a short period of time, and it's our first one.
Yeah.
But this is going to go on throughout the week. What sort of events you guys have planned?
So through Saturday night, we've got a track event coming up at NCN. We've got autocrossing. We've got a go-kart enduro challenge. So tomorrow night we'll be back here for Hump Day, being a Wednesday, except our guys relabeled it Hump Days because there's an open bar for 4 hours, which forced us to bus people over and back.
Yeah.
Well
have a couple pops before you hit the autocross circuit. I'm telling you, really.
As long as the John Morton car is nowhere near to be seen.
Yeah.
You won't sweat those cones, you know. In the past, you'd be pretty upset if you hit a few cones in that autocross.
Yeah.
In the past, you would, but honestly, our guys are it's the safest event. If you want to enjoy a week-long car-related event, the ZCon guys know how to do it. There are some folks on my team here. Josh Lyman's out there. He organized today's car show with the Ozark Z Club. Dennis Whittakin. Got to name a few names here. But these are all volunteers, guys. We don't get paid a cent.
Yeah,
occasionally I get a better parking spot.
They don't look like professionals, if that's what you're talking about. They definitely don't have that air to them.
Yeah, yeah. So, I'm glad you guys made it. I'd love to have you guys, you know, spend more time with us next round.
It's, what I usually do is try to get some sort of, you know, club stand-up gig and just piggyback it onto the event. So it's like come out, hang out. Kick some tires during the day,
so
and then go to the club that night.
So you're going to find a club
in Colorado Springs open.
Open.
Yeah. All right. Chris. Yes. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is and where do we want to push people? Do we want them to go like a website or something like that?
The event website stays the same, even though it changes location. It's zcon.org, zcon.org.
Okay. Chris Carl, everyone, put your hands together. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Chris.
One more break to tell you about our friends at JB Weld. If you got projects, and you should, You, shame on you if you don't have projects. Well, if you're listening to this show, you probably have projects. You want to do them right, and you want to do them with J.B. Weld. Ordinary Glue's got the word ordinary right in the title. Let's go with something better. We're proud to have J.B. Weld as a sponsor. They're great. I know the owner. I know the company. They've been around for over 50 years, and they're proudly made in the USA. You keep them in your toolbox or your drawer in your kitchen or your craft room. They work. J.B. Weld's got something for metal. It's got something for wood. It's got something for plastic and more. Do not glue it. J.B. Weld it. It's available everywhere. I mean, jbweld.com. Well, that's a start. Home Depot, Lowe's, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Walmart, Amazon, Michaels, and more. It is J.B. Weld.
So let's see. Let's give some final thoughts here. What do you think?
Well, I understand that this is sort of a bit of a pared-down version of Z-Con, given our current environment. But the cars here are fantastic, and we're going to walk around and snap a few pictures and be able to post them up to see for anyone that couldn't make it out here to the actual event. Of course, they'll listen to the podcast, and we'll get some pictures up on our social media. Mine at Motorator and CarCastShow.com, so you guys can see some of these incredible cars. You guys did such a nice job with these.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, the Z car, the 240Z, I think it's pretty timeless because of the architecture, because it's like the Ferrari Daytona. You know, it's got that front long hood, that architecture, like a Aston Martin, a Daytona, that sort of just that GT car that has that.
Yeah, I
long
like the GT style. I always like sort of the front engine long nose style of cars more so than the rear mid.
Yeah,
cars.
Yeah, screw those rear mid cars that handle so well, but. But the Z, I got the Z back because I didn't have any money, and I always loved the fact that it was like aluminum head, and it had a straight six, and it had the aluminum valve cover,
right.
And it was easy to hot rod with the triple Webers and, the header. Too bad they were on the same side of the head. Jesus yeah. Christ, can we do something about that? It would drive me insane.
I'm telling you, if that car they debuted tonight has got a configuration like that. We're going to make a stink about it. Nah, it's going to be
I'll tell you guys a funny little cool little thing, a cool Pete Brock thing that you guys will like. Matt knows Pete, and he knows he loves the story about Pete sort of doing the splitter on the front in the Roadster when they said you can't run a scoop in the front.
You couldn't have a splitter. You couldn't contribute in any way to the aerodynamics.
Right. So he called it, brake ducting or something. So
he went out there and he designed brake ducts and blew everybody away. And then he said, oh, the next season, everybody showed up with brake ducts, brake scoops on their brake ducts.
So the other thing that's a really cool little Pete Brock detail that I think you guys are uniquely qualified to appreciate, which is on the BRE 510, it doesn't just have a heat shield between the header and the intake. It's, most guys take some L brackets and flatten them out and screw them onto a piece of flat aluminum and just kind of create like physically a shield between the header and the intake.
Yeah.
This thing is like ribbed, sculpted out of aluminum. It's like finished nicely, and it's got quick release pins on it.
Pins.
So I was talking to Jim Frula, who some of you might know, Z guy, race car, whatever. I'm talking to one of my Datsun race car guys, and I said, should we run on the different Drummer 510? It doesn't have a heat shield. Should I run a heat shield? He said, well, the heat shield, fine, but it's a real pain in the ass because you can't get to the header bolts or whatever it is. And I was like, oh, you can't? Because Pete Brock figured that out. You do these two T releases.
Yeah, it's like a push button quick release pin.
And you pull it off and the whole shield comes off and the mounting brackets are still on the head and you can get to the header bolts and the carburetor bolts, which is so Pete Brock. And this piece is finished as nice as any piece on the car that would be an exterior piece.
It was interesting because when you've got Pete's, the BRE 510 there, and it has the shield, And Sean in our shop made, you know, fabricated another one from scratch for, you know, basically a reproduction of it.
The other BRE car.
So when Jim said, yeah, you can't get to the bolts because the shield, you got to take it off. I'm looking around going, I don't know what you're talking about. This looks super easy to me. I didn't realize this was a unique Pete Brock special.
Yeah, Pete Brock, boy, that guy, everybody should have a shrine to him at home.
Well,
all right.
I think he's going to be here later in the week. And like a lot of you guys here that are, you know, Pete's coming out here. He absolutely wants to do this. And I think he's going to be a little cautious as far as, you know.
Well, don't talk to him. He's a super douche. But
he's going to be rolling around. I'm sure he's going to have Kit Brock, his little dog, with him, and Gail, and it's going to be fantastic.
He's a sweetheart of a guy, and I get crazy emails from him every third day. Like, do you know Hillary Clinton is responsible for the sinking of the Lusitania? It's like, what?
What?
I didn't hear that one, Pete. Oh, yeah.
Pete. He's the best.
All right. I want to thank Jonathan Bueller for making this happen today, and Chris Carl as well. Anything I'm missing here, Matt the Motorator?
No, just excited about tonight for the Z reveal. Hopefully you guys are all going to stick around and check that out. And everyone back at home listening to this podcast, we're going to bring you as much of that information as possible. So, guys, thank you so much.
Until next time, Santa Claus, for Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea saying, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit carcastshow.com.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. Hopefully you enjoyed that show. And right now, Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already be saving you. So right now, there's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Just visit geico.com to learn more. Also want to tell you about our friends at Ford. They have a new podcast. It's an 8-part series that dives into Bronco's 50-year odyssey from the post-war boom to the O.J. chase and this year's rebirth. It's called Bring Back Bronco, The Untold Story, hosted by Sonari Glinton, and he goes on a road trip of a lifetime to find out why Ford killed Bronco and what led to it coming back. So we got a sneak peek. Tune in. We'll tell you all about it. Search for Bring Back Bronco anywhere you listen to podcasts. We'll include a link on the show notes as well. And thanks for these guys for the support. But hang tight. We're going to play it right now. Here's a little teaser.
All right. All good.